Okay, this week we have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayera, and of course we begin the parasha with the discussion Vayera Elav Hashem, that Hashem appears to Avram as Avram was in Elonei Mamre. Vayisa Inav Vayar, the Torah tells us he lifted his eyes and he saw, and the altar of Kelim and the altar of Slabodka both question, why do we need the double reference? Vayisa Inav, he lifted his eyes, and also at the same time Vayar, that he saw. Both reference to the idea that Avram Avinu saw the three men. Why the double language? So both altars, the altar of Kelim and the altar of Slabodka, explain that the Torah wants us to understand that every action taken by Avram Avinu was always calculated. And that in the same way that he controlled his hands, he controlled his eyes. First, he needed to lift his eyes in order to see what he wanted to. And then he looked in order to achieve his mission. And then Vayar, he was able to see that which he was set out to look for. Shmiras Ha'inayim is a very major difficulty in our lives today. But when we go to look for certain things, we often don't see other things that may even be directly in front of our faces. Vayisa Inav, Avraham Avinu teaches us, say the Bali Moser, that when you lift your eyes to only look for certain things, Vayar, you will find those things and perhaps not even notice the other things at all. In fact, there's a famous study about a group of people who were watching a certain video of people passing around the bowl. And as they were watching, they were instructed to count the number of times that the bowl passed its way around. The number of people who did not notice that in the clips of the video, a man in a gorilla suit came in and was dancing. The number of people who missed that video was just absolutely stupendous. It's an incredible thing. When we look for certain things, we tend to divert our concentration away from the strangest and most out there ideas. This is perhaps one of the first things that can work to our advantage when in life we want to control ourselves from the environment we are surrounded by. Anyway, the Malachim come along and they certainly offer certain messages in response to Avraham Avinu's hospitality. And one of them makes the declaration, Shova Shuvei Lecha Keis Chayavine Bein, that Sarah Imenu is going to have a baby. And the Torah tells us, Vatitzchak Sarah Bekirba, Sarah laughed internally, and Rashi notes that she looked at herself and she questions if it were indeed possible that her post-menopausal body could again have kids. The Ramban questions why we hold Sarah at fault for the laughter. After all, she didn't see the men outside, and she didn't know that they were legitimate malachim, so why do we fault her? If some strange person from another religion came and offered a blessing, would we also be liable for not believing it? So the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Siegel Zatzal, explained that Hashem created the world and has never stopped being involved in the creative process each and every day. We certainly declare HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis, that God recreates each and every day. And if He wanted to do something, He can. The problem is, the problem was not in the fact that she didn't believe in their blessing. It was that she didn't believe Hashem could do it on His own decision. So she was cynical about the possibility. And cynicism and bitachon do not go together. That's why she was chastised. Afterwards, the Malachim go to carry out the rest of their mission in the city of Sodom. And Avraham Avinu gets into a discussion with God and a debate, a bargain, an auction, so to speak. Perhaps you'll find this number, and this one. Ulayi Matsun Sham Asara, maybe you'll only find 10 tzaddikim. So it's interesting to see that Avraham Avinu is pleading on behalf of Sodom. And why is it that the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Beites Amud Beis notes that La'asid Lavo in the future, Hashem will tell Avraham Avinu that Banecha Chatu, right, that the children are going to be punished because they sinned. And Avraham Avinu will not stick up for us. Avraham Avinu will say, Yimachu al Kiddush Shemecha, they need to be wiped out on the basis of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Why the change? For the people of Sodom, Avraham Avinu goes ahead and negotiates with God. In the Asid Lavo, he's not going to take care of us, his own children? Why is that? Why Sodom yes and his own children no? So Rav Kalman Baon, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, the Menahel of Yeshivas Ponovich in Ponovich in Europe, he explained that even if Avraham Avinu, whose defense of humanity was unmatched in this world, needs to readjust his awareness of the danger of sin in the world of truth. And so therefore he declares, Yimachu HaKdush HaShemecha. At least, he says, if I can't go ahead And in the Olam HaEmes declare that the children need, his children need to have shalom, they need to have an opportunity to do tshuva, at least they should be able to get the greatest taras hachet, namely the Kiddush Hashem in their deaths, which would assure us of atonement lasid lavo, for which we will have the opportunity to get into the world to come. And that's the difference. Once upon a time, there was a means of achieving and extending their lives in Olam Hazeh. Chet sins, stains. The only way to wipe off that stain is to be Mekadosh Shmo Barabim. And of course, that too is Avraham Avinu watching out for his children, Lasid Lavo. So Lot is there, and the whole episode happens, and then thereafter, the Malachim go and destroy the city of Sodom. Lot's wife turns around, and Lot declares he can't go ahead. He can't. He needs to stop in the city of Tzoar. He makes the declaration, "Vanochi lo uchalihi malei tahara." I cannot go run to the mountain. And the Medrash comments that Lot was afraid of if he went back to Avraham Avinu, his chuyos would not match up to Avraham Avinu's, and he would not be able to live in Avraham Avinu's presence. Now, why wasn't he worried about this prior to when he split with them? His chuyos were not as great as Avraham Avinu before he had the shepherds that led to the fighting. So the late, great Philadelphia Rosh Yeshiva Rebbe Yisrael Zatzal learns that when someone is attached to a holy group, so he or she is part of the group, and then doesn't need to match up, because in essence, you don't match up to the group, you're a piece of the group. The only thing is, when you split from the group, and you make yourself independent, and then you change your mind and you see the error in the decision to split, only then do you have to acknowledge the error and try to rejoin the group. Lot was afraid that he had rejected Avraham Avinu, and so if that's the case, he has to apply for remembership. And of course, he was afraid that his merits, his chusim, would not be enough for him to get back into the group. Says Rav Elia, it's critical to remember that one is better off being a zanav la'arayos, a tail of a lion. Because when you're a zanav la'arayos, you're a tail of a lion. Your tail of a lion is still a lion. When you split off, you're going to want to and try to be something else. You are no longer a lion. So a person has a responsibility to recognize that as well. So, of course, Avraham Avinu has a baby. Sarah has Yitzchak. And then Yitzchak and Yishmael have their debate. Sarah declares, Garesha sa'amo azosu esbena. And so, of course, Hagar disappears. Vatelech vatesa b'midbar be'ershava. She ran away. And she wandered. And Rashi explains that she intended to return to her Avodah Zarah. So Sifsei Chachamim says, Vatelech Vatesa means she was going to go back to her Avodah Zarah. How did Rashi come up with that idea? So Rabbi Mordechai Pogrominsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, answers that a Jew is never lost. He or she always knows that no matter where he or she is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him or her. And so if the Torah tells us, Vatelech Vatesa, that she got lost, she must have left Hashem. The late, great Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, added that someone who's so attached to this world and thinks everything here is so important is also lost in this path of life and needs a reality check. We also get lost in our existence. We need to change that as well. So anyway, she throws him under under one of the trees, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to Yishmael Ba'asher Husham, and then we're told Vayifkach es eineha, HaKadosh Malach came along, he opened her eyes, and the Medrash cites a famous comment, Vayifkach es eineha Amar Rebbe Yamin declares HaKol Becheska Sumen, everyone is blind, Hache Meir HaKadosh Baruch Hu es eineha, until Hashem opens our eyes. Rav Dessler Zatzal adds that a person needs to be careful every day of his life to make sure he or she is heading on the right path instead of fumbling around in the darkness. That's the lesson of Vayifkach es eineha. We're also told at the end of the parasha, when we read the section of Akedas Yitzchak, Al Tishlach Yodcha El Anar Val Taslo Me'uma, and Rav Simcha Bunim of Pshischa notes that if we blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah to remember the Akedah, shouldn't it be more appropriate to hold up a knife to remind ourselves, to remind Hashem that Avraham Avinu was ready to sacrifice his own son? The shofar is such a minor piece of the story. Why the shofar and not the knife? So Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shalita, the great chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, former chief rabbi of the state of Israel, explained that the blowing of the ram's horn recalls the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Tishlach Yadcha Al HaNar V'Al Tas Lo Me'umah. We remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is opposed to human sacrifices. And we too anticipate the fulfillment of the eternal promise, Al Tishlach Yadcha, don't harm the child. And we too say, die. That it's enough to the kategor, to the adversary of death. We daven and request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all of our korbanos, the korbanos of human beings, they stop, and that we merit a speedy and complete redemption. We are living in a period in time where there seem to be korbanos being brought every single day on the mizbach, on the mizbeach of the malach, Gavriel, and this is a major crisis in our lives. Finally, in the Haftorah, Rosh Hashanah Shlita noted that in the connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha is a twofold connection. The first one is in the fact that both the Isha Shunamis and Avram and Sarah were answered with a Zara Shel Kayama. She has a child, and they have children, but there's a deeper level of connection for the communities beyond the Frankfurt and Sephardi communities. We read a lot more. The wife of Ovadia and the Shunamis woman, both of them experienced miracles, but they both experienced the miracles behind closed doors. And similarly, despite being told of Sarah Imenu's having a baby in Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram also doesn't reveal this to anyone, not even to Sarah. Both the Parsha and the Haftorah highlight the idea that Kavod Hashem Hester David, that Hashem's greatest respect is found where? In the tznius, in the quiet. We live in a time where we want to show everything. Everything's a razzle-dazzle. But that's not what our goal in life is. Our goal in life is to see a hester davar, a quiet issue. And if we can achieve that in our lives, we certainly can be zocha not only to a Shabbat Shalom, but a Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umnucha L'chaye Olamim. Shabbat Shalom to all.